Track 9, Celebrity Spotlight. This month, Sam is going to introduce us to a musician I had never heard of, Nick Drake.
Don't you have a word to show what may be done? Have you never heard a way to find the sun?
Well, we turn our celebrity spotlight onto a little-known folk star this month. As autumn mists and mellowness flow about, soak in the sumptuous string sounds of Mr. Nick Drake.
Won't you come and say, if you know the way to move?
Well, for a singer-songwriter who only made 3 albums, Nick Drake continues to cast a long shadow, with many artists, including Kate Bush, claiming to be influenced by him over the years. There's a mixture of extreme shyness and difficulties with mental health, meant that his beautiful, meditative and deeply melancholic take on mystical English folk kind of slipped through the commercial cracks during his lifetime. Nicholas Rodney Drake was born in Burma in 1948, and his father, Rodney, had moved to Rangoon in Burma in the early 1930s as an engineer and then married Molly Lloyd, the daughter of a senior member of the Indian Civil Service. Now, in 1951, the Drake family returned to England to live in Warwickshire. And with parents writing music, we have a very different type of background for our celebrity. Middle class, privately educated, homeowners. The songs of his mother Molly, which have come to light since her death, are similar in tone and outlook to the later work of her son, and they shared a similar fragile vocal delivery. And his sister, the actress Gabrielle Drake, and biographer Trevor Dann, noted a parallel foreboding and a fatalism in their music. It was whilst at Cambridge University that Nick decided to pursue music as his career. He wrote to his parents of the need to leave uni, writing, "I hope you can perhaps appreciate that the idea of having my music as a vacation hobby for another year and a half is not a particularly happy one. And it seems that Cambridge can really only delay me from doing what, at the moment, I most need to do."
Would you love me for my money? Or would you love me for my head? Or would you love me through the winter? Would you love me till I'm dead? Oh, if you would and you could, come blow your horn on high. I never felt magic crazy as this. I never saw moons, knew the meaning of the sea. I never held emotion in the palm of my hand. I felt sweet breezes in the top of a tree. But now you're here, bright in my northern sky.
Part of Drake's failure to attract a mass audience was attributable to his almost pathological reluctance to perform live. And it was at a live show in Cambridge, however, that a member of Fairport Convention saw Drake perform and recommended the singer to producer Joe Boyd. Well, Boyd, already a linchpin of the British folk rock scene as a producer of Fairport and the Incredible String Band, asked Drake for a tape and was impressed enough to give the 20-year-old a contract in 1968. River Man, which echoed the tone of Frederick Delius, was orchestrated by the veteran composer Harry Robertson. And Maurice Rosenbaum in the Daily Telegraph said, "His voice is slow, reflective and warm, and although the verse structure tends to melodic monotony, there is no mistaking the quality and the promise of Riverman.
Betty said she prayed today for the sky to blow away, or maybe stay. She wasn't sure, for when she thought of summer rain calling for her mind again, she lost the pain.
His second album, Brighter Later, produced with Boyd and released in 1971, seems to have been created with a lot of optimism, and the sound of it is richer and it's fuller, with an ear for orchestration. And he wrote the songs very much with those arrangements in mind, the drums, the bass and the horns, and was very happy with it all. But Brighter Later was a commercial failure, and reviews were, again, mixed. Record Mirror praised Drake as a beautiful guitarist, clean and with perfect timing, and accompanied by soft, beautiful arrangements. But Melody Maker described the album as an awkward mix of folk and cocktail jazz. Well, soon after its release, Boyd moved to Los Angeles. The loss of his mentor, coupled with the album's poor sales, led Drake into further depression. His attitude to London had changed. He was unhappy and living alone, and visibly nervous and uncomfortable performing at a series of concerts in early 1970. In June, Drake gave one of his final live appearances at Yale Technical College in Surrey. Now, Ralph McTell, who also performed that night, remembered, "Nick was monosyllabic. At that particular gig, he was very shy. He did the first set, and then something awful must have happened. He was doing his song Fruit Tree and walked off halfway through it."
Fruit tree, fruit tree, no one knows you. Don't you worry, they'll stand and stare when you're gone. Fruit tree, fruit tree, open your eyes to another year. They'll all know that you were here when
Drake's third and final album, Pink Moon, is a bleak, minimal affair, seemingly wrenched from the depths of mental illness. As shown by the reactions of his family and contemporaries, it's a reflection of his brilliance and the uncomfortably intimate nature of the material. Nick's relationship to the finished album is unknown, and it's likely his family and friends were unaware of it until it was released. His friend, Brian Wells, is convinced his parents didn't listen to it closely, and Gabrielle doesn't recall doing so either. And by the time it appeared, they were more focused on his day-to-day condition than on his musical output. And Rodney later wrote that it was made when Nick was getting pretty bad, and it's rather way out, as they say. In another letter, he admitted, "The material on Pink Moon has always bewildered us a little, except From the Morning, which we love. Its atmosphere is dark and depressing, well, knowing how Nick had become."
Day one stormed, and it was beautiful. Day one stormed from the ground. Then the night she fell, was beautiful. The night she fell all around. So look, see the days, the endless colored ways. Go play the game that you like.
Folk singer Beverly Martin had similar concerns. I thought, this boy's gone. We've lost him. We can't reach him anymore, and he can't reach us. A reviewer also stated, Nick Drake is an artist who never fakes. The album makes no concession to the theory that music should be escapist. It's simply one musician's view of life at the time, and you can't ask for more than that. And in his writing, he employed a series of elemental symbols and codes, largely drawn from nature. There's the moon, the stars, the sea, the rain, the trees, sky, mist, and seasons. They're all commonly used, influenced in part by his rural upbringing. And images related to summer figure centrally in his early work. From Brighter Later On, his language is more autumnal, evoking a season commonly used to convey senses of loss and sorrow. Well, Nick Drake died following an overdose of antidepressants at his parents' home in November in 1974. But throughout his work, Drake wrote with detachment, more as an observer than a participant, a point of view described as if he were viewing his life from a great unbridgeable distance.
Time has told me you're rare, fine. Troubled cure for a troubled to ask for more, for someday our ocean will find its shore.
Thank you, Sam. That's a rather sad tale.